Hello, podcast listeners. Chad here. And before starting today's podcast, I just wanted to let you all know about the Real Life Podcast Lessons. For those of you that love learning English with podcasts and want to support what we do, we also have 40 amazing podcast lessons, which are transcribed copies of podcasts number 60 all the way to 100. This whole course has more than 1,500 pages explaining all the new vocabulary, the pronunciation, you know, the connected speech, and all the cultural references made in each episode. Also, each lesson comes with an Anki flashcard deck containing 30 of the most important expressions for each episode. It's an amazing way to really memorize all the new vocabulary, and it can be done all on your mobile phone. And you also get lifetime access to the Fluency Circle, which is our community of students from all over the world. This is a place where you can chat to other students, ask and answer questions, and you also have access to us if you need an extra hand with anything. So to learn more about this course, just go to realLifeGlobal.com/FluencyCircle. FluencyCircle, one word, Fluency Circle, and you can learn much more about the course and all the lessons there. Also, in this episode, we want to give you all a free power lesson. This is based on our other fluency course, Fluent with Friends. We'll explain much more about it at the end of this episode, but I suggest you already download the free lesson now by going to realLifeGlobal.com/Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley. But you can also just go to the show notes of this episode and see all the links right there. So this episode is at realLifeGlobal.com/startup. That's S-T-A-R-T-U-P. Startup. Alright guys, so now let's move on to today's kick-ass podcast. Aw yeah. Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Ken again, aw yeah?
Aw yeah!
Aw yeah! What is up, everybody from all over the world? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts, especially this podcast, is a fun, natural, effective, and
psychedelic
or
scalable
way to learn English. So download this podcast right now and listen to us while you are stuck in traffic,
washing an elephant,
building your MVP,
picking your nose,
eating some bananas.
Justin?
Quoting Elon Musk.
Disrupting the industry of your choice.
Or disrupting Ethan while he's sleeping. I got a roommate last night. I'm joined here today in the studio with the guys, the fellas, the comrades of Real Life English. Ethan, what's up?
How much? How you doing?
Pretty good. And Justin.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. I feel like we are... Oh, I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm good, man.
Are we saying what's up to me or the real life audience?
To you and what's up, people?
Cool. All right, guys. So we have another awesome podcast install for you guys today.
Install?
Yes.
In store. We're going to be installing it into your brain.
Oh yeah, you can say install as well, like a stall.
Installment.
No, I mean like install, like you have like a newsstand, like a stall, right? We just always say in store.
I've never heard that, but
okay.
Maybe it's an Australian term.
Yeah. Whenever I say something wrong, I just say that's an Australian term. You guys don't understand. All right, guys. So what is on the cards for today?
All right. So we... Well, first of all, what does on the cards mean?
On the cards means what do we have in store?
Isn't it in the cards?
That's an Australian term.
Not on the cards, in the cards. So in the cards for today, in store for today, something that we're about to talk about is entrepreneurship, startups, and building a business. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about our story with Real Life English because we've been on quite a journey since we started. We've gone through many different phases, and yeah, right now we're right in the thick of it.
In the thick of it? Is that an American expression?
What does in the thick of it mean, Ethan?
We say in the fat of it.
The fat of it?
Nah, just joking. We say in the thick of it.
In the thick of it, it's like in the middle of it, in the densest part.
Mm-hmm. In the eye of the storm?
Yep.
In the eye of the storm, in the middle of the storm, right?
The eye of the hurricane.
Eye of the hurricane.
Because we, right now, are working our asses off to bring to the world something new, something disruptive, something that really makes an impact on your lives and the lives of many people all around the world.
What do you mean by disruptive? Because we said that in the beginning as well. Or to disrupt something.
When I first heard this term a few years ago, when we were first starting to build these technological products, right, and start to get into the startup world, I heard the word disruptive, and I'm like, to disrupt something is like to destroy it, right?
Almost. Not really to destroy it. It's kind of like to shake it and like in a way that's kind of damaging or changing it.
Because, well, for example, in class, the teacher says, stop being disruptive.
That means like to
interrupt.
Interrupt, yeah. That's the word, interrupt.
So, like my Chad said that our roommate disrupted my sleep last night. He woke me up. Mm-hmm. He interrupted my sweet dreams.
So maybe we might say that, like, you know, that maybe the English learning industry, traditional methods, they're sort of asleep, right? They're asleep at the wheel.
Oh, what does asleep at the wheel mean?
It means you're driving and you're falling asleep, right?
Yeah. Not in a dangerous sense, though. It means, like, you're not even really paying attention to what's happening.
It can be dangerous because...
If you're in an actual car. But, like, yeah. Metaphorically, what does that mean?
So... People are, the industry is asleep at the wheel. People, there's no consciousness. It's not really like building towards anything effective. And so we are really trying to disrupt that by creating something new.
Mm-hmm.
By creating something that is completely different, that takes it to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Game changing.
Game changer. What does game changer mean?
You would be the best one to define this.
These guys make fun of me all the time for using this term.
Well, we don't make fun of you for using it. It's just the fact that when you use a word so much, it loses its power.
Yeah.
You know, like the word awesome, it used to be a very strong word. It's like in a state of awe, like, wow, that's awesome. But now that I say it all the time, when I use a word, it doesn't have as much bite to it.
Well, it depends on and how you use it, too, because if you have a lot of game-changing ideas or there are a lot of game-changing things, little by little, those do change the game, right?
Yeah, but what does game-changing mean, anyway?
Game-changing means to change the actual sphere that you're playing in. So it's almost like to create a new game.
Mm-hmm. It's like listening to this podcast could be game-changing for your English.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your English to another level, something that you don't generally get in a typical English class. We're bringing you the real-deal English, how we really speak, and how we make errors. Like, I didn't know that the expression was in store. I thought it was install for some reason.
Maybe it is in Australia.
Maybe it is. I doubt it, though.
All right. So enough dilly-dallying. Let's come back to the focus of today. Real Life English has been on this journey since we started. We came together, I think, 5 years ago, like Chad and I met, and we started organizing some parties. So mm-hmm. we were event organizers, right?
Yeah, I think we covered this in episode 100, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fascinating story of Real Life English.
Absolutely. So...
So if you go to the blog, reallifeglobal.com, and on the nav bar, if you click podcasts, you'll see a list of podcasts, number 100, tells you the full story, but Justin's going to do a quick summary here, right?
Yeah.
And then we're going to zoom in into like a more recent history.
Mm.
Yeah, so Chad and I were teaching English, organizing parties, then we decided to, we started learning about ideas about... online business, about blogs, about community,
Yeah, typically it was more about, there's a style of business called location-independent business models, right? Yeah.
Digital nomads.
Or digital, what's a digital nomad?
Digital nomad is like, well, what's a nomad, first of all, is like kind of a wanderer, right? Someone who doesn't really have a home and they kind of take their home with them.
Mm. Well, to wander is kind of like to walk around with no real destination.
Yeah.
To wander. Like, sometimes you can use this like, my brain is wandering.
Yeah. And it like comes from German. There's another like really cool term called which we use in English too, called Wanderlust, or Wanderlust, I think, in English.
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust. Okay. And it's it basically means that
Justin,
you like,
know, he's part German, right? There's a side joke here is that for some reason a lot of Brazilian people think that any kind of Caucasian is from Germany, right?
Well, we all have blue eyes.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
But anyway, wanderlust is like someone who really loves to travel, like not just experience their own home, but they want to see the entire world. So that's wanderlust, is like that need to travel. Digital nomad is like someone who kind of wanders, they take their home with them, and well, that's a nomad. And then the digital nomad adds in the doing an online business part. They're doing something mm-hmm. digital. So
digital nomad, what was the other term?
Wanderlust. Oh, sorry. The other entrepreneurial term?
Yeah.
Location independent.
I was going to say lifestyle design. This is kind of like a new category of business. So basically, in the traditional model, like you needed to be present in one place to do something, to be productive, to have a job. But in this world that we're creating now, with communication, with distributed work opportunities.
With the internet.
People all around the world. The internet, Skype. An ability to communicate with people all around the world and all these tools online to help you communicate, you can actually work in a different way. You can work from anywhere.
Like we would always say at the start of the podcast, I'm joined here today in the studio, but our studio actually doesn't really exist because all I need is my laptop and the microphone and we can record a podcast from anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which just happens to be my bedroom right now.
So, if you really want to dive into that and learn more about that, there's a book that was written maybe like 8 or 9 years ago called The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. He has a really great podcast, too. But this guy, this book just is like a handbook or a playbook of all of these strategies and all these different ways of thinking. A lot of the best digital nomads, online entrepreneurs have read this book, and it completely transformed their perspective. It's a game changer.
Cool. So that's location independent or lifestyle design businesses. So that was kind of where we started, right? That was our idea, but then we kind of got pulled into the startup world.
Yeah, we created a lot of content. As you know, we've been creating content like this podcast.
What do I mean by pulled into? That's a pretty cool phrasal verb, right? To get pulled into something.
Or sucked into.
Well, that's a little bit different, though, because sucked into means it kind of feels like you're being tricked uh-huh. to do something. But to be pulled into, it's more like a magnet. It's kind of brought you to a different... how would you explain that? A magnet? What's a magnet?
It's like a piece of, I believe, iron that like it's polarized, so it attracts other metals.
Mm-hmm. Good explanation.
So there's sort of a captivating force there, right? You're
It wasn't your intention to do that, but some other magical force has brought you into that realm of business.
Yeah, so we were like teaching English before. We started having parties and talking with people, and then we started the blog. Ethan came in pretty quickly. He started showing up at our parties and helping us, not going home. And he started producing blog posts for us, so we were like, okay, come on, Ethan, let's do this together. And then once we built this audience and we started interacting with people, this community, this completely transformed our ideas. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, how can we really serve this community and really create something new? So we started to learn about these different programs that exist around the world. And there's a program here called Seed Minas. It's a startup accelerator. And there's another one in Chile called Startup Chile. Right, and so we started filling up these applications, which are basically like grants. They're free money if you have a good idea.
More or less free.
Well, I mean, you. So, what is a startup accelerator? First of all,
what is a startup? I think we should not worry about the accelerator. Let's explain what a startup is.
So startup, it's almost like an experiment for a new technology or a new business model, right? So a lot of these...
What's a business model?
A business model is a new way of creating and delivering and capturing value mm-hmm. in the world.
So it's like a business plan. How do you make money? Who are your customers? And that whole cycle of making money through a business, right? The business model.
For example...
But a startup is generally like a business model that's kind of very new, and it disrupts a different market. Like we mentioned the word disrupt before. For example, one of the most famous startups probably, or most recently, would be Airbnb. What they did, they had this idea of being able to stay at people's houses instead of having to stay in hotels. So they created a platform where you could advertise your place as a hotel room, and you would on the platform you can go and book those rooms. So it's really, really cheap. You get to stay in a nice place, with nice people. You get a very good cultural experience, and they've totally changed the way people travel now, right? Mm-hmm. What's their mission again? You said it the other day.
Belong anywhere.
Belong anywhere.
Yeah.
Airbnb. So anywhere you go in the world, you can have like a very local experience because you're staying at someone's house.
And another one people probably know, at least if they live in a big city, is like Uber.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Where how you can like, you know, it used to be that you have to take a taxi. Taxis are pretty expensive in most places. And now it's like you just pull out your phone wherever you are and you can call an Uber. And it's usually pretty reasonable. We use it all the time here in Brazil. And it's like, I remember when I was living here 3 years ago, that didn't exist. And getting around without a lot of money was kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, generally something that's like a very new, different idea. It's something that maybe people, sounds like something that could be kind of crazy or not succeed. And you really have to talk to people and figure out what the pains are and to solve those pains and to also just be like kind of doing like marketing and advertising in a very different way. There's something called growth hacking, which is basically finding ways without traditionally in marketing you have to spend a lot of money, like Coca-Cola does like advertisements everywhere. What startups have to do is find ways to reach a big market without spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how like Uber, Airbnb, they took these kind of ideas, staying at someone's house or taking a car ride with a normal person, that sound kind of crazy. And a few years ago, something that like people thought no one would ever do, but now it's just really normal.
Well, it's like, for example, like you mentioned a pain point. So what would be the pain points that Airbnb or Uber, like Uber, for example, it's like a taxi service, but it's much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels safer, it's more personal, you know your driver, you have their information on your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
more convenient.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
Well.
I never think, oh, I'm going to grab a taxi now. I always say, oh, let's call an Uber. Or if I'm going to travel, I don't think of looking for a hotel to stay at. It always goes straight to Airbnb now.
Mm-hmm.
So just going back just a little bit, this is a really powerful idea, what these guys are doing. But most people have the misconception that Uber... The founders, what is a founder?
Someone who starts a company.
Yeah, they're like the owner of the company, but they started it, right? And so in startups, we say the founder. Most people think that these guys, they spent 2 years building it, and then they released it to the public, and it was
mm-hmm.
the greatest thing in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of a myth. So what this idea of like the lean startup, which is a book, if you want to get into this is like probably the first book you'll read.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great book on this whole... new methodology about how you take an idea and you bring it to the world through a very objective, diligent scientific process.
Yeah, it's probably like most people who listen to this at some point had to study the scientific method, which is like if you take any science class in school, generally they teach you this because it's how scientists come up with an idea and they test that idea. So it's not just like proposing ideas without proof.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically how they prove a theory true or untrue. And so it's like taking the same model and applying it to businesses.
Because there's so many businesses that people build that nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a vision for something, a lot of visions are totally wrong because you need to test that with the market. You need to test that with real people.
Yeah.
And part of the process is actually... having people to take your idea to an experiment and explore their problem, right?
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, the name of that book Justin mentioned is called The Lean Startup. And
what's
does,
lean?
Okay, I was about to ask that. Lean can be, for example, something that's very thin. There's no fat. Like, yeah. If a person is very lean, they're kind of skinny.
But it's kind of like skinny and muscular, right? It's not the same as being skinny.
It's not like someone who's anorexic or something like that. And skinny in a negative way, like unhealthy, you know? But in this case, for business, the lean startup, it's focused on how to use your resources very wisely, you know, not to spend money on unnecessary things. Like Ethan mentioned, like Coca-Cola spends tons of, you know, millions of dollars on marketing, but the idea is how can you get into the market without having to spend all that money and use all your time and resources on stuff that maybe won't work at the end of the day. Yeah.
A good example of this, that's kind of just to quickly give you an idea of like what growth hacking is. There is a company that sells like blenders, and it's like these new kind of like blenders.
What's a blender?
A blender is like you put solid things into it and it makes it into liquid. So like a smoothie, right?
Yeah, think about a milkshake. You put it into that machine that chops up all the fruits
and the ice and whatever else.
Maybe some coffee, right?
Yeah. Kale.
Kale, sorry. In English, it's kale. Me and Ethan have been having banana and kale milkshakes in the morning.
Without the milk.
Yeah, without the milk, with water.
But anyway, they took these very disruptive blenders doing some, it's using kind of like new technology with a traditional product, and how they, because they didn't have a lot of money, they had to do some like sort of growth hacking. So what they did was they made these videos being like taking different household objects and be like, can we chop it up in our blender? And so it's and maybe a lot of people have seen this because they went viral, and it's like they put an entire like broom, like a thing that you clean the floor with, into there and chopped it into sawdust, which is what you get after you cut wood, is just like the tiny little pieces of wood.
Yeah.
And then they put like an iPhone in there. I think that was the one that was really, really viral, and it just like made it into powder.
Whoa.
So that was the way a company, they had to spend almost no money on it, and they were able to get like, you know, probably millions of people to watch their videos, and I'm sure they got thousands and thousands of people to try their blenders. Mm-hmm.
So a term you used there, uses also earlier, is growth hacking.
Yeah.
You kind of explain what that is. Maybe you can just break down that word so they understand it more.
Yeah, so growth is, obviously it comes from grow. So it's in startups, in order to get traction, in order to actually become a company like Airbnb or
Uber. What's traction? Literally?
So, traction is literally like when you have, for example, the tires on your bike or your car, you want them to have traction so that they stick well, so you don't like, you know, so slip out on ice or water.
They're grabbing the ground. They're holding the ground, right?
Or like shoes. You want shoes with good traction if you go hiking, because you don't want to like fall off of a rock and hurt yourself.
You can go much faster, right? And be much more secure, right?
You can run faster too. Yeah.
But I think in a business term, traction also has this feel of maybe momentum too, right?
People are using your product. People like it. The world needs it. It's valuable. Value,
it means like that you've kind of applied the lean startup and you've actually validated that like your product solves a real pain in a real way.
There's a real pain, there's a real solution, mm-hmm. for a real market, right?
So then you start, that's where growth starts, or I think you said in the beginning, scalable. Mm-hmm. What does scalable mean?
Well, to scale means that it's something that can grow in an exponential way.
Really fast.
Yeah. And so...
Exponential?
Exponential is something like 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. Right? Yeah. That's exponential.
So mm-hmm. it's like there's another term that's really common in startups, that's hockey stick growth.
Yeah.
So you have like your growth graph that shows like kind of the curve, and a hockey stick, it's like at first it's kind of flat, but then it just shoots up. So it's imagining that same idea with having a graph that like... it's kind of flat, it's going up steadily, but then all of a sudden it shoots up as it gains traction.
Mm-hmm.
So, and growth, coming back to the word growth hacking, it's growth plus hacking. Hacking is finding a simpler way to do something complicated. So it's like, for example, also a term that's, hacking is becoming more and more common. You hear this with like a lot of co-locations nowadays, but like travel hacking. It's something all of us do when we travel, because we don't have a lot of money, so we have to find...
We're poor asses, man.
We don't have a lot of money because we invested all in Real Life English, let me say. So we travel hack. We find ways like using Airbnb or using Uber instead of like staying in an expensive hotel to make it more affordable and a better experience overall.
I watched a really great workshop the other day talking about growth hacking. And one of the things, imagine a person climbing... a mountain, climbing a wall, mm-hmm. right? And there's no place to put your hand on above. You can't pull yourself up because there's no place to put your hand. But you need to find that place. You need to like search and find that place, because you find that crevice, that spot in the rock mm-hmm. that you can grab to pull yourself up. It's not there, but you need to find it. And so it's there somewhere. That's the difficulty. So the hack is really that persistence, that perseverance, that intensity, looking for that solution, mm-hmm. even if it's not the conventional solution.
Yeah, rock climbers like totally do that.
Like a putting an iPhone in a blender. Yeah. Who would have thought that could be the best marketing tool? You know.
Yeah. So it's sort of a combination. Like Ethan brought up a really good example, but one of the things I said in the workshop I thought was really great was like between technology, marketing, and psychology. Mm-hmm. And you really, really want to hit that nerve.
What's a nerve?
And what does it mean to hit a nerve?
To hit a nerve is to... A nerve is like that in your body. You have like a part that feels a lot. For example, you have a nerve.
Like your nervous system, right?
Yeah.
You have it's like a little sensor, different parts of your body that like capture pain, or they capture other feelings as well. But I mean, that's the sharpest, the most noticeable is when there's pain, right?
Like a doctor might put when you're sitting down at a doctor's table and your legs are kind of dangling, the doctor will hit your knee mm-hmm. with a hammer and it hits a nerve. And if it hits the nerve, your leg will jolt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get lots of vocabulary to jolt.
Jolt and dangle.
Oh my god, this is going to be difficult to explain.
Dangle is just hang.
Yeah, dangle is when it's like hanging. There's just, your feet aren't touching the ground. They're dangling in the air. But to jolt would be to move really quickly.
It's like for me at least, I think of like lightning.
Lightning, yeah.
Like a lightning bolt. It's kind of, I think it comes from that, like kind of jolt, giving like a shot of lightning.
You're wondering if that's actually
real.
Yeah, because it sounds the same.
Or it's like caffeine gives you a jolt, like you're really tired and you drink a cup of coffee mm-hmm. or Red Bull or something, all of a sudden you're like jolted awake.
Mm-hmm. A burst of energy.
Yeah.
So speaking of jolts, right, to accelerate something, going back to the original term, a startup accelerator, right? We defined startup. So we entered into a startup accelerator in Chile.
This was 2 years ago almost? 2 years ago, November?
The end of 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had created our blog and we had created this, a lot of content and an audience, community. And this really, really inspired us. This gave us a lot of ideas to build something new. So we went into this program and it was a complete paradigm shift.
What does paradigm shift mean, Mr. V?
It's just like, didn't we just mention that in like one of the previous podcasts?
So probably mentioned in all of them. It's a game-changing podcast here, man. We're always breaking these paradigms.
So a paradigm shift is basically to change the way you think of something.
It's a really quick one-time event that changes your perspective.
Yeah, it's like the first time you use the internet.
Yeah, and so we came into this world with the lean startup, right? All of these new ideas, technology.
I think the technology was the biggest part for us because we didn't really have any idea. None of us are developers, so we didn't really have any idea. It's like Ruby on Rails,
yeah.
Django mm-hmm. Python, like
so
Java.
Here, so the startup, the archetypes, right? The archetypes are like the core patterns of the startup founding team.
Core patterns.
Patterns.
Patterns, yeah. What does a T sound? So patterns.
These are like the caricatures,
it's an R
right?
sound.
These are the caricatures of a startup, right?
Yeah.
So of the people on your team. So what do you need? What are the three archetypes that you need to have a successful startup?
Money.
Well, you have the hacker. We mentioned the word hack, right?
Mm.
The hacker is the person who knows about technology, the person who can program.
In a lean way, generally for a startup.
Yeah, well, the person who can build it, right?
Build your MVP.
Yeah. And so the MVP
What's an MVP?
It's the first version of what you're building. It's the most simple, the most lean thing that solves the problem. You don't want to waste time. You don't want to waste money.
Yeah. So it's kind of like in the lean startup process we were talking about. You have your MVP, which MVP stands for minimum viable product.
Minimal viable product.
Minimal viable product.
It's like your prototype. Right.
And basically, you need this thing to really the minimum thing that you need to be able to prove that there's actually this pain exists and that you can solve it with your idea.
So to build this, to build the MVP, you have the hacker. What are the other two archetypes?
Someone with marketing, someone who can market it.
And this is the hustler, right?
What's the hustle?
To hustle is somebody... Well, you
have wouldn't that be a hipster, the marketer?
The hipster is a designer.
Okay.
So is the
next one, right?
Hustler is more like the business person, the person who actually has that business perspective. I don't think we fit this archetype 100%, but so you have the hacker, the hipster, and the hustler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of these terms. I think we're going to explain that right now, right? Some of these terms in the startup world, which can be a little annoying, but they do also serve a purpose, right?
They're buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
What's a buzzword?
A buzzword is like game-changing words that lose their meaning because of overuse.
Yeah.
Right? Clichés.
Yeah.
It's just like people kind of throw them around, maybe also just to give them a feeling of status.
So when you're inside of that circle, maybe it's a little bit difficult. It can be boring. But when you're outside of the circle, it serves to communicate pretty well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're looking to start a startup and you're not a technology person, find a technology person.
Mm-hmm.
Find that hacker.
Which is what we did in Chile. That was like the big paradigm shift, like kind of revelation for us was, oh my God, we need to find someone who knows about technology, because like none of us fit that archetype.
And we even need to like understand technology enough to be able to direct that conversation. You have a conversation with the person, because at the beginning it was like, okay, we need a programmer. How do we talk to a programmer? How do we hire a programmer, right? How do we even have a conversation about, you know, what the right technology is?
And I think like the other amazing thing about being an accelerator, the fact like we were in Startup Chile and now in Seed, and we were in one in Portugal as well, is just the fact about the people that you're surrounded by. You're surrounded by a bunch of other people who they have startup experience, or they're also like going through the program with you. So they're going through basically the same kind of pains of trying to build a business and a new business model and everything as you. So we had a lot of people who helped us with this, with understanding technology better, with understanding like what we need to build the lean process, and like just kind of brainstorming, and that helped us to really build something pretty exceptional at the end of trying to get my time right. So it was 2015, right?
It was like mid last year.
It was a little
mid
over a year ago,
yeah. July 2015.
Well, we launched in August.
What's launch?
Launch is we released to the public. We announced publicly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we could ramble a lot about this and about our experience and stuff like that. But I guess our main idea with this podcast is to inspire you guys. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can get into the startup world. Maybe you can start your own business. It's not even necessarily a technological business, right? But I think we want to give you guys some, even if you've never thought about starting your own business before, at least I think it would be very worth your while to look at some of these resources we're talking about, like the Lean Startup, Business Model Canvas is another awesome tool. Even if you don't have a startup, it's really great just to understand a business model very quickly. And you can already start thinking about your own ideas and how you might want to start your own business, because we definitely want to inspire new entrepreneurs, because it's an amazing way to be creative and bring something new to the world.
Yes, like nowadays, one of the things you realize, like ideas are much easier to create. They're much cheaper to create. So if you have a big idea that you must bring to the world,
mm-hmm.
there's a model for it.
And maybe you don't even have to build the product yet. That's what you do with the Lean Startup. It's like you have your idea, you make a landing page, you make just a very quick website that can at least show that people want what you want to create.
Or even before that, you just talk to people. You talk to people who would use your solution, and you ask them, like, what exactly is your pain? So you see if they actually have the pain that you think that they have. It's very much like the scientific method.
Mm-hmm.
So before anything, it's like you just go out and you talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Steve Blank. He's like one of the leaders of this movement, along with, he inspired the book The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. But his big phrase, his tagline is like, get out of the building. Because most of the time people they're in the building, They're in their office building the solution, but they don't actually know the people they're building the solution for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get out and talk to people and have a human interaction with them.
They don't actually test their, like, they have, like, all these ideas about what people want, what people need, but they haven't actually asked those people, do they really want it? Do they really need it? Do you really have this pain?
I'm going to link in the show notes a course that we all took last year. It's called How to Start a Startup, taught at Stanford University. It's like 18 or 19 videos, but they're all by some of the greatest founders in the world, people who have built Facebook, Airbnb, and a lot of the other big companies that you guys know that are household names.
What's a household name?
Household is like around your house, so most common people know these names.
Mm-hmm. So I think just to like transition into this part, maybe we could just like explain what this means as going from like what we were before to becoming a startup. What does it mean that Real Life English is a startup?
It means that we work a lot more with technology.
We just work a lot more in general.
But there's startups also that aren't necessarily like technological. I think it's like trying to bring something really game-changing to the world.
Dude, you say game-changing all the time. It just loses its meaning.
But generally,
you can't trust it anymore.
This is the thing about like technology. Technology is usually the scalable part.
That's
right?
True.
Mm-hmm. So when you start, a lot of times your solution might not be technological, but technology is probably how you're going to scale it.
But my point is that we're trying to, and I think we are like expanding our circle of influence, expanding how many people's lives we can affect with what we're doing. Is like really, and technology is helping us a lot to do that.
We're ultimately trying to disrupt. I'm doing air quotes. Disrupt.
What are air quotes?
Air quotes are when you it's like you do your fingers. It's like two peace signs, and you fold your fingers like that to say. Because I'm using the word disrupt because it's kind of a little.
It's a cliche.
It's a cliche. Yeah.
Yeah.
To disrupt the ESL market, you know, we're trying to change the way people actually learn English because we're embracing the idea of global citizenship and putting that together with the fact that English has become the global language. So we're using that as our springboard of, you know, connecting the world through English, but English becomes like the byproduct of this idea of global citizenship. We mentioned that Airbnb's mission was to belong everywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Our mission is to create a world beyond borders. So that's kind of our disruptive tagline for what our startup is.
And how we kind of like motivate ourselves, right? It's
mm-hmm.
what we're looking towards.
Peter Thiel, who created...
Dude, you're name dropping all this time. I mean, don't care who Peter Thiel or Steve Blank is.
He created, he created PayPal, right? And so he wrote a really great book. If you want another book, I highly recommend that the best... startup founders have read. It's called Zero to One. And we all read this. And one of the things he talks about is, what do you believe that people would disagree with? What unpopular belief do you have? What secret about the world do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And one of our major secrets is that non-natives will learn from other non-natives. That really the process of discovering your English fluency is the process of discovering the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the fact that it's like an added bonus that you're like discovering many different cultures, not just like American, British, Australian cultures.
Mm-hmm. And it's also the way that the English language is changing, because it is becoming a global language more and more every day. I think it's like 70% of the people who use English daily are non-natives anyway. So what's happening with the English language is that it's becoming very global. It's incorporating all these different cultures, you know, like it's no longer just American or British English. You can get English from even Australia has speaking English now, you know. But I'm saying
poorly, but poorly,
yeah, very badly, you know. But we're getting there. We're slowly getting better, more competent with our English. But you know, you speak to an Australian, and they have their culture and the way they speak. You can understand Australian culture based on the way they speak English, and that's becoming true now for every corner of the globe. You know, you speak to Max, you know, you understand Argentinian culture by speaking to Maxi Boy.
Yeah, talk to someone here in Brazil in English, and it's like you get a little bit of a peek into what Brazilian culture might be like.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond like what your preconceptions are, because like you could potentially talk to a Brazilian in English that doesn't like doesn't like football.
Glauber,
doesn't like
for
samba.
Example.
Yeah. Or like I was thinking of like Rob, who we've actually had on this podcast. He doesn't like samba, doesn't like football. He's like very what would a good word be? Like he's very like into information, like learning things.
Yeah, he's more of an academic kind of guy. But you can still feel that at the foundation of his personality, there's a Brazilian guy there, you know?
But it's like beyond what your preconceptions of a Brazilian might be if you've never been to Brazil.
But going back to this idea of like really the global citizen, you're not just transcending and then excluding who you are in your nationality, right? You're really creating two identities, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're creating like this global identity. At the same time, you don't lose where you come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of open up to a much greater vision of the world.
Yeah.
Transcend and include.
Yeah.
Transcend and include. Nice. You want to name drop someone else right now?
This is a really big idea, but this guy Ken Wilber, he's a philosopher. But basically, transcend and include is like to transcend your perspective that you have.
Move beyond,
and you include the essence of your previous perspective.
Mm. So it's like personal growth. Like when you grow, doesn't mean they actually like forget about where you came from, right?
Yeah,
that's also part of your new self, your new state or level of consciousness or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, so global English isn't about destroying your native culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of giving a more ample perspective
mm-hmm.
that will really give life to your native culture too.
Ample?
Ample means bigger, more spacious, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's why we were actually disputing whether or not to say that our mission is to create a world beyond borders or to create a world without borders.
Uh-huh.
But we decided to use beyond because we thought it was, you know, it's... There are still borders. We still have our countries, you know, it's the United States, and then there's Mexico. I know some people want to actually put a physical border there, you know, like a big wall maybe. But we're not going to create a world without those borders because they're still going to exist. Each culture is still going to be there, but it's like transcending and including, so we go beyond those borders. Are we ranting? Are we speaking too much?
We're ranting, but before we move into...
We're going to move into something else?
The finalization of this podcast.
Okay, cool. Finalization.
Just one point, talking about, you know, transcending and including borders, there's this whole idea that we probably talked about this before, and we'll talk about this again, but it's a really important idea of the overview effect.
Mm.
The overview effect, these first astronauts, when they went to space to go to the moon... They had their eye on, they had their goal is to go into the moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we built all this technology to go there, and the entire time, the moon, the moon, the moon. That was our mantra. Spending all millions and billions of dollars to do this. And they go out to space, and they flip back around, and they look at the planet, and it blew them away. It was a complete paradigm shift, because it was the first time they actually glimpsed Earth from space.
Mm-hmm.
This blue dot hanging...
Mm-hmm.
In the space.
We mentioned that in the meditation podcast, two podcasts ago, if you want to hear more about the blue dot and that overview effect. But yeah, that was a game changer, wasn't it?
It was a game changer, a complete paradigm shift, and it caused a complete shift in their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, they weren't able to think about the world the same. There's no borders, right? Mm-hmm. They're just in our minds, in some sense.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's English, that's global citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
It's awesome.
That is awesome. That is a state of awe.
Disruptive.
were we going to teach some vocabulary, or should we just finalize? Is that what you're talking about, to finalize some vocabulary stuff? Mr. Vocabulary? Justin's
sure.
Pointing to you.
We're talking about Silicon Valley?
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, because one thing that if you guys are going to get into startups, or maybe you are already into startups and you're just using it for, this could be a great podcast. We're just going to quickly finish with some of these like acronyms and startup terminology. We're going to explain that, save that for another podcast. Is it going to be too long? We still got some time. Maybe just like one acronym, which is really good, which I think we should explain right now. We already mentioned an MVP, which is a minimal viable product. What about the acronym FOMO? That one's really cool, because if we're going to like leave them hanging, let's give them some FOMO as well. What is FOMO? What does it stand for?
I didn't even know what this meant a few years ago. Somebody said it, and I'm like, FOMO, what's that?
Sounds like a neighborhood in New York or San Francisco or something like that.
I felt really
Soho, right?
Soho.
Yeah.
They do that with all sorts of cities.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt really bad asking that because it seemed like everybody already knew it.
Well, so it's a lot happened a lot in Startup Chile. Just like always being kind of like, pardon my ignorance, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. So FOMO it stands for a fear of missing out. And this is if you can put FOMO into your product or into your marketing campaign or into your...
Talking to investors.
Even in your personal life, if you're trying to meet new people and you have this FOMO effect, people are like, oh, I got to meet that guy.
Or finding partners in your business too.
Yeah. So what is a phrasal verb there? Missing out.
To miss out is to lose an opportunity, to not get that opportunity, whatever it is. So
we use it a lot, like, man, you missed out last night. You didn't come to the party, and it was really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Me and Justin went to an awesome party last night, and you missed out.
It's true.
What? You didn't go? You're not going to go? The party's going to be off the hook, man.
Does anyone actually still say off the hook?
I don't
Justin
know.
Does. That's good enough to teach in a podcast.
Right? I've been outside of the United States for a while, so...
It could be game-changing to bring back that term, though.
Yeah. Off the hook. This podcast is definitely off the hook.
Definitely.
So fear of missing out, guys. If you want to really have a great marketing message or put this into your product, this is a sensation or feeling that if gets evoked in your future customers or clients or business partners or girlfriends or whatever however you want to use FOMO, and it's to have this appeal so that when people, if they don't take the opportunity, they have this visceral feeling, like they would you say it's a visceral feeling,
mm-hmm.
that they missed out. They need to take this opportunity, or else they're never going to get it again.
On the flip side of that,
this idea that everyone is doing this and you're not doing it.
You're the only one.
You're the only one that's not participating in this amazing opportunity.
Or that you're going to be kicking yourself later.
Mm-hmm. That's FOMO. And what is kicking yourself?
Kicking yourself. It's like you basically miss out on something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you kind of figuratively, you're kicking yourself in the butt because you should have done something.
It's regret.
You didn't do. It's regret, yeah.
So
on the flip side of this...
On the flip side means what, Justin?
It means the kind of the other side of it, kind of like a related, complementary part of it, is...
Complementary or contrary, on the contrary?
Yeah, well, I'll let you decide here.
Okay.
But your response to it as well, because society is full of FOMO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can actually recognize that you have this feeling, oh, I'm going to miss out. You can evaluate the opportunity based upon a feeling of just awareness and calm rather than being
in the moment,
being caught up in the hype.
Yeah. Hype. What is hype?
Craziness.
Excitement about something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's not even real.
A lot of times, it's kind of like there's a lot of hype in a place maybe like Silicon Valley, because like when Justin and I went there, my time's really screwed up, like a year and a half ago, and it's just like, the place is just full of hype about things.
I didn't get invited, by the way. These guys hanging out in Silicon Valley. Like, hey, Chad, you stay here and work.
we call it the Valley, Chad. Come on.
Silicon Valley. Maybe you want to explain that.
That's another... they got a lot of acronyms there, even for the places. So Silicon Valley is... most people have heard of it. It's south of San Francisco, and it's like where there's all this buzz about the startup scene. It's where most startups are at. Most... Facebook is headquartered there, Google, a bunch of other companies that
Apple.
You know of. Yeah, and it's because that's where the most investors are as well. So like if you want to get money, go to Silicon Valley. But there's also a lot of competition.
It's the epicenter of innovation. It's really like this it's a light shining out innovation for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
In Startup Chile, they have a funny term they call like Chilicon Valley.
Chilicon Valley.
And here in Belo Horizonte, there is a suburb, a neighborhood called São Pedro, and they call it São Pedro Valley because that's where a lot of startups were originally based here in Belo Horizonte.
Yeah. It's quite a very successful startup environment here too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like there's a lot of hype. It's just like the kind of the culture there is like everyone has to try the newest things. They have to be ahead of the trend, or they have to be even ahead of the person who's ahead of the trend. So it's like this It can be a little bit annoying.
Ahead of the person is ahead of the trend.
Yeah. It can be a little bit annoying there just because people, they just latch on to these different new fads, but it's just something that's kind of artificial. It's passing.
Latch on to? What does that mean?
It's like you grab onto something and don't let go.
Uh-huh. It's like to get onto the bandwagon.
Yeah. But there it's not quite the bandwagon. It's being ahead of the bandwagon.
Mm, okay. You got to be the horse that's pulling the bandwagon.
Yeah. Or the guy who's like riding the horse. But anyway, just on that note of talking about Silicon Valley, there's a really hilarious show that all of us watched that it's kind of like a social commentary on this whole idea of the startups and just being in Silicon Valley and the hype and everything. It's really hilarious whether or not you're in the startup scene. Like, I watched it with my mom. She got a kick out of it.
Got a kick out? Is that like kicking yourself?
Not at all. It's like you really enjoyed it. You found it really funny. Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, this TV series, what do you call it? TV series, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
This TV series is actually created by the same people who created Beavis and Butthead. So you can imagine the kind of humor that, you know, the you know Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Shut up, Beavis. You want to do a Beavis or Butthead impersonation?
It was before my time, man.
Oh, come on. That thing,
I remember seeing it when
timeless.
I was a little kid, you know. But okay. It's a really great series for anyone, but especially if you're in the startup, there's like, if you are in the startup scene, there's like kind of an extra wink there, like an extra level of understanding, because although a lot of it is very exaggerated, a lot of it kind of hits home.
What do you mean by hit home?
At home is it's like it's something that is very close to your real life.
A lot of the things we talked about will repeat themselves on this show,
yeah.
Right?
So I highly recommend watching that. We are actually going to play you out today with a scene from Silicon Valley that's really funny. So basically to set you up in case you haven't seen the show before, there's these people who are like trying to get a startup going in Silicon Valley. And there's a guy named Ehrlich, who's one of the funniest guys in the show. He has a house that he's made into an acceleration program, like just a small house in Silicon Valley. And all these guys live and work in it. And so they've actually started to get some traction, this startup. And they basically have a platform for showing videos. It's much more than that, but we'll say it's kind of like a YouTube, but much better.
And they had a really great growth hack idea.
So they've now got this viral video, and all of a sudden they're starting to get a bunch of people who are viewing it, and they have servers which basically hold all the data right in their garage. And so they're basically trying, and as a side note, Ehrlich is trying to sell the house. He's decided he wants to sell it, and they're kind of like destroying the house to make more room for the servers. So there's a lot of things going on in this scene, but it's really funny. And we actually have a special surprise for you. If any of you want to go to our website, go to reallifeglobal.com/Silicon Valley, all one word. You'll be able to download a power lesson that will have all the vocabulary, expressions, and the cultural notes that you can use. And then we'll also share the video so that you can actually watch it and you can learn to understand 100% of the scene.
And a link to that will also be in the show notes of this podcast, which would be reallifeglobal.com/startup. STARTUP.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can spell.
Australians can't talk, but they sure can.
Yeah.
That even gets confusing because sometimes you guys do British spelling, sometimes you do Australian.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
But you don't want to miss it. Because this is going to be awesome. All the people are talking about it.
Yeah, anyone who is cool is listening to this podcast and downloading that power lesson.
So don't be a loser.
There's some serious FOMO if you lose this opportunity.
And it's funny because this guy Ehrlich is his name?
Yeah.
He a lot of people at this startup program that were participating here in Belo Horizonte. Oh, yeah, just an interesting story. Rob Dog, or Rob, who was on the podcast, who we met in Chile, he's also participating in Seed Minas, where we are right now. So he's living in the same city again. But
well, it's not quite as close to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Not living quite as close to us.
But same city.
Same city. We see him almost every day.
Yeah, yeah. But he actually, people have commented that Rob reminds people of Ehrlich from this
So maybe like watch this scene with the power lesson and then go back and listen to the episode where we had Rob Dog talking about aquatic apes.
Let me just double check what number that one was. I'm on the
it's before.
It's before. So if you just go to realLifeGlobal.com/radio/podcasts, it is number... Oh, where are we? Happy Holidays, is it? No, where is it? It's not here.
You may search for ape.
No, I'm sure I put it on here somewhere. Anyways, we'll post it in the show notes of this podcast, which will be realLifeGlobal.com/startup. Right? That's what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
S-T-A-R-T-U-P, one word.
Good job. You can also spell. All right, guys. So thank you all for joining us in this journey, this listening about the journey of real life English and startups and all this dilly-dallying, ranting, rambling. Hopefully it was also an amazing learning experience for you guys. Any final words?
Oh, yeah.
Good choice. You?
I'd say just if you're interested in this, learn more about it. You can make something, maybe some dream you've always had. It is possible to make it a reality.
Yeah, yeah. And we're also going to post all the resources we talked about in this podcast, like the Lean Startup, the business Lean Business Model Canvas, or just the Business Model Canvas.
How to Start a Startup.
How to Start a Startup. All these resources, if you really want to take advantage, check out the show notes. Again, realLifeGlobal.com/startup, and all those resources will be there. Can we get one last "oh yeah" before we play them out with this funny ass scene from Silicon Valley? 1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah!
Very quickly, don't forget to take advantage of this awesome lesson from this scene from Silicon Valley. Don't forget to download the power lesson. It's in the show notes of this podcast, realLifeGlobal.com/startup. Or you can get the direct link at realLifeGlobal.com/Silicon Valley. Okay, guys, so download that lesson and you're going to really enjoy it and learn so much from this kick-ass scene from Silicon Valley.
Guys, who is Manny Pacquiao?
Pacquiao? He's one of the most famous people on the planet Earth.
Oh, Manny Pacquiao, the Filipino legislator.
No, boxer.
Okay, well, he just tweeted a link to our live stream, and he has almost 2 million followers.
Oh, fuck. We gotta scale up if we're gonna handle that kind of traffic.
I'm gonna compress the manifest.
I'll kill the high spit rate to give us more headroom.
I've always wanted to be part of a suicide pact.
What?
That's not what we're doing.
Hey, Guilfoyle, we're up to 50,000 views. Whoa, it is like 500 degrees in here.
Yeah, Anton is really starting to sweat.
Yeah, still can't believe you gave the servers a man's name.
Sorry, I couldn't remember your mother's name.
Hey, why don't I just open up the garage door, let some fresh air in here?
Yeah, sure. If you want the cooling system to shut down and everything in here to turn to magma. Actually, with all the new servers I have running, we're about to max out the amperage and blow the main breaker anyway.
Sooner or later, Guilfoyle's servers are gonna fail and then it's all done.
My servers could handle 10 times the traffic if they weren't busy apologizing for your shit code base.
Oh, yeah? Well...
The picture quality is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all hosted at a data center they built themselves in their garage.
That's right.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it's already becoming a meme in the Philippines. Look.
And Filipinos find this amusing.
Apparently.
They are a fascinating people.
How are the numbers?
Unless people start getting bored and tuning out, we're gonna hit our capacity.
Fuck.
I'm so dehydrated. I'm gonna have to urinate into my water bottle.
This guy's gonna drink his own piss? That's too good. We're gonna fail by succeeding.
Jared, I need you to plug those servers in now. Aye, Captain.
What a shit circus. Good riddance.
But look at us. Doing this. It's intoxicating. Don't act like it's not magical. It is.
What the fuck is that?
Jesus Christ!
What the fucking fuck?
Hey, guys.
On the day that I'm showing the place? Are you serious?
I had to shorten up the cable run, so this is the shortest distance to the garage.
Had to do it.
It's magical.
Guilfoyle, what are you doing?
Jamming the breakers so they don't trip.
That's not a huge fucking fire hazard?
Yeah, of course it is. This whole shitbox would go up any second.
No, no, no. No fires in here. I already had that conversation with Jin Yang, I think.
200,000 views. Fuck! Guilfoyle, we need to build the caching mechanisms now. It's the only way the clusters will scale.
Okay, sounds good. Do it.
I can't do it on my own, Guilfoyle. Hey, Ehrlich, I need another coder here. None of these guys can help me.
Sorry, amigo. I don't code anymore, remember? Carpal tunnel syndrome.
Well, then we're fucked. This thing is going to crash any second.
Mr. Bachman, I am dropping on you like this, but I have got the buyers.
Shit, he's going to drink his own piss.
Sorry, Louise, this isn't a great time. I'm entertaining, and I have some minor cosmetic repairs to do before I show the house.
Oh, no, they don't even need to look inside. They only want the property for the lot value.
Lot value, meaning?
You have to realize your house is a total teardown, right?
They want to tear this place down?
Guilfoyle, the casting mechanisms, we're going to crash!
I told you, get Ehrlich to do it.
Richard said keep it online.
Mr. Bachman.
I can't do this by myself.
They want to make an offer right now. All cash, Mr. Bachman. I think you would be foolish to turn this down.
Did you just call me a fool?
No, all I meant was...
Madam, do not call a man a fool on the transom of his own home. A home that happens to be the world headquarters of a company keeping streaming video of a man who's about to drink his own urine online for tens of thousands of Filipinos. Does that sound like foolishness to you? So, you can tell your clients, respectfully, that they may go fuck themselves.